Dr. Carol Tilley from the University of Illinois has been called a comic book crusader for her research on comics and their impact on children. She's appearing at the annual Lois Lenski Children's Literature Lecture on Monday, March 21st at 7 p.m. in ISU's Stevenson Hall. Her talk, entitled A Severe Case of Comics, Looking Back at a Problem That Wasn't, focuses on the research of psychiatrist Frederick Wortham, who in the mid-20th century crusaded against the supposed harmful effects of comic books on the development of children. Tilley says Wortham claims his concerns were based on research he did with young children.
But when I had a chance to start going through his papers a few years ago and there at the Library of Congress, what I found is that although he didn't lie about everything, he certainly misled his readers in many respects. He made up kids, he falsified some of their quotes and comments, and generally just kind of made stuff up.
Were you able to determine why he did that?
You know, I think that for him, he had a very particular view of the world and how to create a healthy moral society. And for him, he saw that comics were violent. He believed that they disrupted sort of what was necessary to create that good society. And he didn't really distinguish between comics that might have been truly violent and potentially disturbing and just sort of run-of-the-mill, everyday, funny animal comics or
Betty and Veronica.
Right, or Archie, things like that. So for him, comics as a whole were potentially harmful. And I think once he sort of found that message and got some approval from his audience of mothers and police officers and teachers, he just didn't let it go.
Well, Carol, for you as an academic, when you were looking into this, as somebody who is looking at another academic who is doing research, did you feel at all hesitant to reveal the inconsistencies in his study? Was there any feeling in you that this is maybe something that you shouldn't be doing, that you were discrediting this guy?
Well, I think that lots of people had discredited him in other ways before anything that I published.
So the field was open to do that.
The field was open. So Wortham has been a whipping boy of sorts for a lot of comics folks and even folks in academia, in media studies and sociology, because the presentation of his research was suspect from the beginning because he didn't provide a lot of specifics in terms of his methods and the numbers of kids that he spoke with. And so there had already been some concerns that maybe he wasn't being completely truthful. My own take on this and my own work, I didn't go looking at his papers with the aim of discrediting him. I really went for completely different reasons, which was to understand more about how teachers and librarians themselves viewed comics. And so when I began to uncover these patterns of falsification, I sort of set it aside for a while. And it wasn't until really my conscience started gnawing at me that I decided I needed to write something about it. And it was, my interest still wasn't that much about discrediting him. It was more about honoring the experiences of the kids that he studied, the kids who he treated in his practice. My real interest was doing good to their memories and to their experiences.
Well, Carol, can you reveal what Wortham's research at that time, what sort of impact that had on the comic book industry? Did it have a hard impact? Did parents find out about what his, you know, admittedly dubious research turned up and suddenly said, oh my goodness, we can't have our kids reading this stuff?
You know, Wortham was a very popular author and presenter. He appeared on radio regularly. He wrote for publications like Ladies' Home Journal and Good Housekeeping. And so parents did have access to his message about the evils and dangers of comics. Wortham was probably the loudest of the anti-comics folks, but he wasn't alone. But certainly the impact of his message helped pave the way for hearings that the U.S. Senate had that investigated the role of comics in juvenile delinquency and promoting juvenile delinquency. And his research and his presentations certainly helped pave the way for what was known as the Comics Code Authority, which regulated the sales and the editorial content of comics from the mid-1950s all the way through 2011, although with a few modifications. And what happened is that what was the most popular print medium of the 20th century, the comic book, its sales and its readership began to decline after Wortham had his say. And it's beginning to recover today, but what happened is that a lot of the kids who were reading comics and who found some sort of opportunity for self-expression through comics fandom, their interest began to wane.
You have been referred to with your work with regards to comic books and studying comic books, and you've been called a comic book crusader or a comic book rock star by essentially you're coming to the defense of comic books and the impact they have on young people.
That has been a great treat for me to be perceived in that way. And I don't know that I can wholly live up to those titles, but certainly I see great value in comics of all kinds and their role in potentially building and promoting literacy for younger readers. I think that comics are just as important as any other kinds of text that we have today. I think that they can tell really important, powerful stories. And to think of them as only ephemeral or silly or over the top does contemporary comics a disservice.
Is there any real hard evidence that comic books are a bad influence on kids?
None that I've found. Mm. I mean, I think that any media, whether you're talking about video games or traditional books or film, whatever it is, there's always that potential to have a bad effect as a result of interacting with it. But there's no real good way of predicting when that effect is going to happen and who it's going to happen to.
Why do we continue to read comic books into adulthood?
Well, I think that comics have stories for everyone. If you look at the kinds of comics being published today, they're not just the floppy comic books that we may have grown up with. There are wonderful, deep, moving memoirs and nonfiction comics. There are stories with very mature themes that appeal to adults, whether they have to do with sort of childhood nostalgia or death and loss of some kind or illness or travel to exotic locations or experiences with world events. I mean, I think there really are comic stories that can touch almost anyone's life and almost anyone's heart.
Carol, have you ever gone to Comic-Con?
I have.
So how have you been received there?
It's been incredible. I've had the pleasure of going to Comic-Con in San Diego 2 years, and I've given some talks there, and it's a lot of fun. It's a pleasure to meet cartoonists and comics creators, and many of them at least have some passing knowledge of who I am, and I get to meet some of my heroes, both in the creative business and in the comic scholarship business.
Do you have a favorite comic book?
I have many favorite comics, and it depends on the day, but I can tell you that some of the ongoing series that I like right now are Jeff Lemire's Descender, which is a wonderful sort of space opera comic. I also am a big fan of Lumberjanes, which is a wonderful sort of strong girl adventure series. And then there are a lot of long-form comics and graphic novels that I'm really partial to. I think probably the one I've read recently I found most moving is called Rosalie Lightning by Tom Hart, which is a memoir of the aftermath of the death of his young daughter.
So definitely not Richie Rich.
No, not Richie Rich, although I love Richie Rich growing up. I wouldn't have survived childhood without Archie and Richie Rich.
That's Dr. Carol Tilley. She's the Lois Lenski Lecturer, appearing Monday, March 21st at 7 p.m. in room 101 of ISU's Stevenson Hall. Although she won't be attending Comic-Con this year, Tilley will be serving as a judge for Comic-Con's Eisner Award, which is the comic industry's equivalent of the Oscar. I'm Laura Kennedy.